I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you know that you don't know? Do you? Or do you think that you basically know what you need to know, but build on it a bit to show that you do know that you've got some room to grow? Because that's the way that I justify it. I know enough. Well, I hate to break it to you, but if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. So, no, you don't know nothing. That's it. And that's not just an insight, actually. That's a threat, if you notice, because it's in that ought to know part. You ought to know. Because that means right there that there's a correction coming for the fault in the way that we think we know. And I loved last week's look at exactly how God can correct us by shaking our lives to open our eyes so we can see if it's truth that we're trusting or just a pile of lies. And nothing shakes us up like being confronted with something that we don't want to hear. And it usually comes in that bottle right there, right? Whether it's challenging or confusing or unique or just new, we will wrestle with it until it fits with what we want it to say. Unless, of course, it's true. Because we can't overpower truth. Can't happen. All we can do is keep up the appearance of an undecided fight with truth in the same way that I can hold my breath to appear to not need oxygen. But it's not really true, is it? However, the stubborn struggle that we have with truth itself actually does reveal a truth. And that is, we don't like to trust anything outside of us, period. I like the stuff that comes from me. For some reason, it's just what I want to hear. But just why is that so bad anyway, right? I mean, after all, we are made in God's image. And all of human history has been focused on growing what we know. We've been putting the work in, studying. So why are we told as humans that we need to throw it out and trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on your own human understanding? And in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Well, I got an exercise. We're going to answer that with an exercise this morning. Do you remember how we missed the cigar in the wall because of our wrong way of thinking? Well, that's because our brain relies on conventions, okay? We don't generally expect to see a cigar in a brick wall nearly as much as we might expect a rock, right? You see the rock because that makes more sense naturally to us. Well, it doesn't stop there. Take a look at this. Maybe you've seen it. We've all got social media, so you see these things all the time. But if you look at this, right, these are clearly crooked lines, right, that are coming at each other. But it's just an example of how context can confuse us because the lines aren't crooked, but even straight lines, as you can now see, right, they were straight the whole time, they can seem skewed in certain settings. Okay, now let's try another one here. I want you guys to read these words with me. Ready? Yellow, red, orange, purple, green, black, blue, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple. Literate church. We're doing good so far. Okay, but let's try it again at the same pace. Ready? Go. Blue, orange,
yellow, purple, green, black, yellow, red, orange, green, blue, purple.
Smarter than first service so far. I like that. Now just say the color of the font. Ready, go. Red.
Green, blue, yellow,
orange. Oh, what's that? I'm sorry. Purple. Yeah. I'll wait for you to finish. Right? A little more stumbly this time, right? Totally. That's because processing two sets of data at the same time, this words and colors, maxes out our brain's systems, and we mistakenly merge them together into what's called conflation. It's good to know that we can handle two things, right? That's where we max out right there. Okay, lastly, I got one more for you. Just look at this lady yawning. Just look at her, okay? Now, merely looking at this picture and hearing me say the word yawn means that around 33% of you will yawn in the next minute. And that's, yeah, I know, it's true. I looked it up. And that's because our brains are easily contaminated and controlled by subtle subconscious social contagions. And every single one of your yawns that you're going to yawn here in the next minute will infect another 33% and so on until I've put everyone to sleep, which is what church is for. So I've done it, you know, there you are. But here's my point, guys. Convention, context, conflation, and contamination are just four of the ways that our thinking gets compromised and leads us to that sense of confusion. And that is just the tip of the iceberg, because our brains are bursting with biases. Okay, take a look at the list of ways that our own brain misrepresents information to us. I put a copy on the back of everybody's transcript here because I want you to take this home and really recognize how often these are true in your life. It is the most humbling thing that you can know about yourself, because you will realize that you should lose every argument you've ever argued once you see how wrong we think. And what's crazy about this is each one of these biases that you can see there, that we have proven through studies, has been built by your individual brain whenever it had to handle and process some challenging or confusing or unique or just new bit of information. And each bias compromises the truth that is in that information. And so after generations of incredible studies and very fascinating findings, nearly every book on the subject repeatedly has concluded the same thing on one level or another: believing our own brain is dumb. Wow. So when we run things through our personal fact checker upstairs and then trust whatever passes as truth, we should know that we're lying to ourselves, right? And we should admit that we desperately do want to know the truth, but acknowledge that it's our stupid flesh that just makes it impossible. Alas, we should scream in humble frustration at our own humanity. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Yeah, just like that. That's what we should be doing. And you know what? That's the wisest guy in the whole Old Testament, and that's how he kicks off his book. And he just keeps the hits coming with an inspiring theme of helpless human frustration and gems like this. God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Thanks. Great. Well, what happens when you have an instinct for the infinite, yet your brain literally can't see straight? Well, you have confusion, and you have frustration, and you have desperation. And so I think the next logical question is, why in the world would God create us with that constant, uncomfortable internal conflict? And I think I got the answer. It's because nothing motivates us to get moving like discomfort. You ever have your house spring a leak? We've had it here. We've been dealing with that for a long time here. Nothing to get you up and moving like a leak in your house. When I was in my 20s, I had one that was right over my bed, dripping directly onto my head. So I put my pillow on the other side. Problem solved, right? Until the smell got to me. Because discomfort even gets bachelor bartenders up back in my 20s. Because all of us, every single one of us, just can't sit still while we're uncomfortable. So we get up and seek a fix. And right there, we take the bait. God got us all looking for answers. And yet all he did was create a universe where we would see the need for truth. Because our spiritual house is already leaky, God just brings the rain. That's how it works. He set up a situation where we would teach ourselves what naturally needs fixing. And that right there is how he can simultaneously be the source of grief and relief and never stop loving you for one moment. And throughout Scripture, he reminds us how this works to explain that he's not a monster like it can feel sometimes. He's just a loving parent. Because we know the Lord is known by his acts of justice. That's who he is. Whereas the wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. It's not his. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds, to help teach us what needs fixing. But my people would not listen to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices so that we could see the holes in our ways of thinking. He's still helping us out. He's still loving on us. And you can feel his heart in the next line. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies. You get the message? We punish ourselves when we lean on our own understanding. It's not him. And God designed life in his creation to highlight our flaws, to provoke us to find a fix that's outside of ourselves. That's where it has to come from. I love C.S. Lewis's take on unachievable instincts for things like truth, like finding truth down here. He says, creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for desires exist. A baby feels hungry, there's food. A duckling wants to swim, there's water. Therefore, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Amen. Yeah, that's solid logic, right? I like that. But if we accept that, okay, I mean, it's a sort of a good news, bad news situation. If we accept that we're stuck hungering for knowledge that we can't comprehend in this place, what can we do? Well, we can know that we don't know, like Paul said at the beginning. And that right there is a surprisingly significant step. Because first, it means we can root out all of our beliefs that were built by broken-brained humans like ourselves. But I don't want you to mishear me here. That does not mean they're completely wrong. It just means that they shouldn't be trusted as completely right. Because every single preacher, teacher, philosopher, and author has the ability to contaminate our way of thinking with new conventions or context that we can then conflate with real truth. And it's like when iconic coach Mike Ditka, remember him? He got fired by the Chicago Bears, but then he met with all the media and reassured everyone when they said, how are you handling this? He said, well, Scripture tells us this too shall pass. No, it doesn't. That's not in the Bible. Nor is there a verse that says God works in mysterious ways or God helps those who help themselves. I'm actually kind of preaching the opposite of that right now. But somehow that's crept in and we believe that that's the truth that's in God's book. Because we heard it somewhere else and we put it in there. That's just our brain. That's our brain's work. So to cut down the confusion in our lives, we gotta cut out the human contamination. Even though they provide other options that may be more attractive. As a matter of fact, that's what they're real good at. And that right there is why sometimes we like reading books that are about God more than the book that's by God. scratches. You know, it does that thing. That's subtly scratching the deceptive desire of our itching ears, telling us what we want to hear, not what we need to hear. And when we do that, once again, we learn the same lesson right here, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. If we want an untainted truth, we gotta go beyond our biased brains. And that is hard to do, and it is not what we want to do. But the second thing that we can do, after knowing that we don't know, is to look for someone who does know outside of us. So where are you gonna go outside of us? Well, God's a logical shot, right? We gotta give God his shot at being our source for truth, for real, all right? Him and him alone. No preachers, pastors, or publications. We got to take him at his word, in his word, to see what would actually happen if, as he says, my people would only listen to me, right where he speaks, in his word. And oddly, if you do take him up on that and you open that Bible, right? As if to confirm we're in the right place. The Bible just starts off and keeps going with a theme of the same key concept that we're talking about right here outside of it, which is believing our own brain is dumb. Matter of fact, they call it sin. Instead, we're told to put our faith in God's word by just receiving it. That's it. Just receiving it, regardless of how much we even understand it. And then, after you've received it, we're free to wrestle with it all we want, as long as we know that we don't know, but trust that he does. And I was thinking about, I was trying to come up with a good analogy for this, and I like where we landed. You tell me what you think here. I feel like it's like being given an alien spaceship, okay? You got it there, and it's clearly superior to what you've got. It's more than in advance of your technology. And although you don't know how it works, you can get in and prove that it does. And the more that you fly around, the more you'll understand how it works, right? You kind of get a feel for it. And the closer you look, the more you can actually reverse engineer why it works. And yet, even if you fully understand it, and learn how to build one of your own just based on all of the time you've spent with it, it wasn't a product of your knowledge. It was a product of your trust. You just knew that it was something beyond your ability. You just made a copy of something that you recognized to be beyond your ability. Well, that's essentially how faith works. We've been given God's truth in his scripture and in his son, and now it's up to us whether we want to look closer to try and copy something that is outside of our ability, or look away and try to cope with the things that are inside of our ability. Just remember, everything that does not come from faith is sin. But it's hard. It's a hard thing to do. It's hard to let go of what we know and what we've built, because we don't like to trust things outside of us. We don't. Because we wouldn't get to live out or even believe in what makes the most sense to our biased brains. Right? If we have to believe in things that we don't necessarily understand. My brother is a professor at the Air Force Academy, and I remember years ago when he went through boot camp, he told me, "Noah, you would never make it through." And I said, "Thanks, bro." But he said, "Here, this is the reasoning he used." He said, it's not that I couldn't physically do it, even though that's probably true as well. But he said, "You wouldn't be able to tolerate the irrational things that they ask you to do." And I said, "Fair enough." That is true. I would have had a big problem with that. I probably would have walked, because I couldn't bring myself to believe that wiping down your shower bone dry every single day made any sense. And I would have been arguing with the guy who would have shown me the door, I think, real quick. But now I've matured a little bit, and I can see that that's just one part of a much bigger plan And what's important isn't how much sense that it made to me, but the trust it revealed about me. That's why we do those things. And it's easy to make the same mistake with our faith. I know I sure did for an awful long time. It kept me on the other side of the fence for years. We want to understand first, and then maybe we'll consider trusting. But you got to prove it to me first. But who in that situation is being irrational now? Because our understanding is not a trustworthy measure of truth. Remember? That's what we're talking about here. So me having that as a caveat makes absolutely no sense. I can't say that it should make sense to me because I can't trust what makes sense to me. Remember, if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But, oh, there's a but? Did you know that there's more? Yeah. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Because if we love him, we'll trust him, and we'll let go of what we know to make room for him to come in. And that's all you got to do, because once he's there, he can show us and know us and then tell us what we need really and truly. Because when we lean on him and let him lead, we can start to actually finally see just how free we can be. And that's the way we ought to know, by trusting only what he shows and really, truly listening when he says, "Be still and just know that I am God." Because if we know that and trust that, there's no limit to what we can know and no frustration in what we don't know. And therefore, there's no desperate need to cure our confusion with our own evil understanding. Because we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we just thank you for loving us enough to bring that rain that moves us to find the faults and then fix them. Holy Spirit, help us to root out the lies that we're leaning on in our lives and lead us to the truth that is beyond our biased brains. Lord Jesus, we do love you, and we are ready to let go of what we know to receive you as we learn to trust outside of us. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.